Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
What is this like for you to be playing in Yankee Stadium, and what did you think of the support you got from the Red Sox fans that went to the game last night?
No, that was fun. Roche was walking back to the dugout, and Chappie was coming in. You could feel it. Standing ovation at the end. This place got loud with our fans, and it's such a beautiful place, this stadium. You know, like I said yesterday, we feel comfortable here. Not because it's comfortable playing against them, but the clubhouse and the stadium and the stage, you know. I mean, it's kind of like going to Fenway as a visitor, right? It's baseball. It's baseball, and we're trying to enjoy it.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Alex Cora around 2 o'clock when we spoke to the victorious manager of Game 1. The wild card series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. That also just reminded me of something, because in my ear when the clip was playing about Fenway Park, Dan Ball was like, did Alex Cora just say he likes Yankee Stadium? He said something else, but I won't say it all on the air. But it made me think. I have this whole conspiracy theory in my head, and I'm going to point this at Dan Ball because I think he loves these. He's got a lot of these ideas in his head about especially Cora.
There's always something below the surface.
So had Alex Cora not signed an extension during the middle of last season?
Yes.
Is there a chance that Alex Cora would be managing in this series for a team in this series, but the home team in this series, that the Yankees fail to win the World Series, they're sick of Boone, they fire him because Alex Cora is available as a...
Oh, God.
World Series winning manager, got a ring, proven he can deal with the crap that comes with a big market franchise, all the pressures that come with it. Am I thinking too deep? If he hadn't signed that extension and just played it out, become a free agent, they fire Boone, he's managing the Yankees. Mm. The Yankees are in this series, but it's Alex Cora managing.
That would have been a good business move for them to do. I don't think I would have trusted Brian Cashman to do that. It would have taken a little too much forward thinking. I think he likes Aaron Boone as his puppet, just pulling the strings as he sees. Would have been a smart move. I still, my opinion at the time was he was going back to Dave Dombrowski in Philly if he did not re-sign with the Red Sox. But
man,
certainly would have been an upgrade for the Yankees if they did go that way.
And the Yankees, so Alex signed that deal, what, in the middle of last year?
Yeah, it was just after the All-Star, the trade deadline?
So
somewhere in there?
Let's say if he didn't sign, so his contract ended at the end of last year. Yeah, and then the Yankees went to the World Series last year, so they weren't going to fire Boone after
going to
the World
Series.
Oh, I'm
not so sure about that. The Yankees have high, they're in the playoffs this year. Like, he's getting fired after a playoff season at some point. Like, that was a failure for them. They continue to come up short of what is the organizational goal in New York. I do think that he is running out of... I heard somebody joke about the nine lives. I think he's running out of the nine lives there. I'm not saying it's – I just think the opportunity – hell, we saw the Knicks do it. It's another New York team.
Yeah.
Had their best season in –
that's true.
What, a quarter century it was? And they were like, we're moving on. And they didn't have an Alex Cora dangling out in free agency to bring in.
Well, they got a buffoon for an owner, though.
Yeah, they do. So do the Yankees –
Do they? I don't know. I mean
– Steinbrenner's?
Little Brenner?
It's one Steinbrenner, yeah. Was it Hank?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, there's only one now? There's not multiples?
You never hear much from Hank.
I think the other brother
keeps a low pro. Oh.
Yeah, he probably isn't owning it.
It's tough to own.
Hank and Brian Cashman were best buds when they were both kind of coming up within the Yankees organization. So it's essentially Hank owns the team and tells Brian, do whatever you want. Lifetime contract, blank check. Yeah.
Either way, Alex Cora is managing in this game and in this series, but he's managing, thankfully, well, for those of us that are believers in Alex Cora, thankfully for the Boston Red Sox. Yep. Mm-hmm. His magic was on display last night. And I am interested to see where this series goes. Do you feel like there's... pressure is obviously pressure on the Yankees because it's quite literally we overuse it, Fitzy. Guess what this is for the Yankees?
Must win.
Sneaky big.
No, also must win because their season's over and they could fire their coach and who knows what the hell. It's the Yankees. Who knows what happens if you lose. But is there a little pressure on the Red Sox to not let it to get to game three? Because game three is Connolly early.
Yes.
The real kitchen sink game, Fitzy kind of thing. So, Ted, you think there's some pressure on the Red? Just get it done?
A little bit. A little bit. Because Connolly early, even though he had a great outing in his last time up, but he's a rookie. You don't know. You don't know what you're getting. He's never pitched in the playoffs at Yankee Stadium. So, and the way in a three-game series, we all thought, you know, you got your ace. The Garrett Crochet pitching that you should win that series, and if they don't come away with a win in this series, it's gonna look. I mean, you and I said, you know, that this team's pretty much exceeded our expectations, so we're already happy. But there's gonna be a lot of people that looked at it this as an opportunity, especially after winning Game One. And don't be the first team in 13 tries to win Game One and then lose the series. They'd be the first to ever do it. So I think there is a little bit of pressure on them.
Thanks for listening, Ted.
I read your tweets.
Fitzy, you can...
I also have a real big feeling, Andy. You know, I think we're not... We mentioned three starts against the Red Sox this year, 5.74 ERA and 15 and two-thirds innings. Carlos Rodon is not the guy that you want to have the ball in his hands when your season and possibly Aaron Boone's job as manager of the Yankees is on the line. I'm sorry. Like he is not a big game pitcher. And I don't care if these words get thrown back at me tomorrow. He is not the guy that you want to have. He's way too inconsistent. I know Bayo can be. Bayo has been much better than Rodon this year, regardless of whatever analytics you want to throw my way. It's advantage Red Sox as far as this game goes tonight. I think once, if he even bleeds a bit, the Sox pounce.
Oh, the pitching advantage matchup is very much on the Red Sox side. Bayo, two games, 14 innings with zero runs allowed against the Yankees over two starts. Like that's, and then you just said it, almost a 6 ERA for Rodon against the Red Sox. Side topic, this is, we don't have time to necessarily get into this, but big picture item, I said this to Arcand off air yesterday. You think of Red Sox, Yankees, big market, big money. Neither of these teams has a third starter. You just said the Yankees' second starter is barely a number two starter in a big game. Like these massive $240-plus million payrolls really don't go as far as they used to. And I know there's Garrett Cole is obviously an ace, and he's injured. And, you know, there's some injuries. Giolito.
He sucked in the playoffs recently.
Well, the Red Sox have had his number over the years. Yeah. They've definitely. But it's funny to think of Red Sox, Yankees, and like – rookie matchup or bullpen game in game three, game two, you're wondering which guy is fatigued and which guy can make it. It's like, wow, they had their aces and that's really all they had to play. And now they're just crossing their fingers and hoping you can score some runs. But this is a matchup that should favor the Red Sox tonight. I don't know. It feels like the last six starts-ish of the season have floated a little doubt into the Bayo world. And I don't know if we're enough pessimists to say, oh, so Giolito started to struggle down the stretch and Giolito ended up having an injury and Giolito can't pitch anymore. Bayo struggled down the stretch. Is he dealing with something? Is he more than fatigued? Is there an issue there that we don't know about? Because we didn't know about it with Giolito until we look back on the performances in retroactivity, Fitzy.
Yeah, but I think something was nagging at all of us. We all kind of had our suspicions about Giolito. You don't just all of a sudden lose 4 or 5 miles an hour off the fastball and walk half the ballpark and, I don't know, it's just mechanics or I'm kind of tired, arm fatigue. Like, something was wrong there. Whereas guys like Luis Gil, who could be their two or three starter now, has been bumped back even more after injuries this season. Cam Schlittler, good pitcher, young guy as well. Like, Yankees rotation is just an absolute mess. And, you know, we got a mess inside our own house as well, but let's just hope that we only have to worry about two starters, and then we'll cross the Connolly Early Bridge up north later.
So let's paint a picture. You have Brian Baio. How deep do we think he can go? Because I don't think Cora will have much of a leash with him. Fitzy, in your world, like if he starts to struggle and it's, you know.
If he's given up four after four, like what do you, is that.
He might be gone.
Bye-bye.
And depending on how he's giving up the four, he might not get to four. If he's got three and a third and he's scuffling along, I think somebody's coming in. But who's coming in? Like how do we play this?
Kyle Harrison.
Kyle Harrison, you think, is next in line?
Yes, I do. And I think Baio goes through. Best case scenario, guys, Baio makes it five, goes through the order twice.
Okay.
That's right.
That's the best case. The guy's got 14 straight shutout innings against the New York Yankees. That's seven per game. And you're telling me five innings is the best case scenario?
A five-inning start where he gives up one run, goes through the order twice. Red Sox are tied or up 2-1. And then, like I said, and then it's literally like every tool, every steak knife, everything's available. Kitchen sink, kitchen cabinet game.
And I think, too, you guys, don't you think, you know, you could get maybe, he was talking about maybe squeezing two innings out of Whitlock.
Yeah.
And if they needed Chapman in the ninth, then he's available as well, he said.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to end it today. You're trying to, there is a tomorrow, but you're pretending there is no tomorrow. End it today and go home. Update out of Cleveland. Hopefully this is not a precursor to a trend in wild card games and series.
Uh-oh.
The Guardians are now up 6-1 over the Tigers. The Tigers took game one, so it looks like they'll be going to – that is in the ninth inning.
What happened to your math, Andy? I thought the math was undefeated.
Oh, the series isn't over. I don't know the details of how those series were won and lost. The Tigers will win tomorrow.
8 out of 12 were two games. Andy,
were two games. That means 4 out of 12, one third of them went to three games before the team.
I don't know. That math is getting a little shaky for
me. No, that math is quite simple because it's easy numbers. Have a few more series and it'll be much more difficult. Hope that's not a trend because we've had some predictions on the text line too. There seems to be a belief. I've seen a lot of texts and I'm sort of summarizing a bunch of, I'm a Red Sox fan, but the Yankees aren't done. I'm a Red Sox fan, but... You know, I don't feel great
That's
about
just ingrained
tonight.
In the Red Sox fan right there.
I feel like it
to be skeptical. I don't blame him.
And then I'm assuming this is our caller, Brandon from Boston, the 857, says 7-3 Yankees, trust me.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? That sounds like a Brandon
statement.
Sounds
like how he would say it.
Yes, he got the script.
Right. Yep. 7-3 Yankees, trust me, Brandon from Boston. I hope that is not the case. I'll tell you, I am being a little pessimistic or whatever. I'm buying a little too much into this. Changing of the catcher thing. I think if Baio gets out of a clean first inning, I'm feeling good about Baio going definitely 5+, maybe 6+ innings.
Would it relieve your stress at all to remind everybody what Baio's ERA is with Navarez catching versus Connor Wong catching?
So his ERA with Connor Wong catching through 23 games is 3.41. You're like, that's pretty good, right?
I'm thinking so.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Six games with Carlos Narvaez catching him, it's 3.07.
Oh, so
I believe that's better.
Yeah. So why so worried? Why so worried?
I think over the last couple years, we've seen that there is a lot of mental to Brian Baio.
Okay.
A lot of mental. And those guys, and this isn't a shot at him. We all deal with a lot of mentals, right? Like things make us cranky. We're in good moods. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out, whatever. But he's in a situation where I think you'd want, Ted, you tell me. You tell me athletes are stupid. You tell me they're creatures of habit and all these things, right?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Well, not all athletes are stupid, just some. But I get your point.
Feels like a blanket statement.
I'm not alluding to stupid. I just think athletes, they're used to the same thing over and over again. Right. And when something derails, I mean, hell, Will Campbell, we talked about wearing some Superman underwear since high school that he's got in a plastic baggie. And that's just underwear. And this is a guy who he's pitched 29 times. 23 of them have been with Connor Wong. And there's a comfort. And for a guy that I think comfort matters and mental matters, I think this is a big deal. But the beauty of the Yankees is you're tested right out the gates. Like, I'll see how he faces Judge in the first inning at Yankee Stadium. And that will potentially tell me what kind of a mental state or confidence he's in.
And just real quick, going back to Carlos Rondon, you're talking about you're not giving faith that he's going to pitch a good game because it's the Red Sox, right? Because his 33 games pitched this year, he's got a 3.09 ERA.
Yeah, no, but against the Red Sox,
okay, so that's,
he's had his scuffles.
Fair.
And this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We look at matchups, and this is what we accuse Alex Cora and the Red Sox of doing too much during the regular season.
How many games did he pitch against the Red Sox, do you know?
Three. 5.74 and 15
what
and
the
two
lineups
innings.
Were in those games. But
yes, Dan Ball.
Are we citing playoff numbers as well, where he has a career 6.64 ERA in six appearances?
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, I like that number.
Excited now. Okay.
He can spit that, Ted. He can spit that bit. Yes, he's a bit of a front runner. Get him going.
Gotcha.
And yeah, then maybe big curveball. And even Alex Cora told us when we talked to him in the 2 o'clock hour today, if it's Rodon who can throw 98, 99, if he's got his good gas, he may be a problem. But if he's, throwing low 90s, they like their chances.
All right, we've got a little texting feud breaking out after I read Brandon's prediction on air.
What do you got?
So now we got 617-52 Sox from Jay on the Cape. Suck it, Brandon. And then 774, Sox are good, no worries. Brandon takes always suck.
they're strong.
So there's a lot going on there. Well, you got to have strong takes.
Yeah. No, there's no gray area in Brandon's takes.
So, Ted, you're not concerned about this in terms of the – you think whatever happens to Bayo tonight will be purely a physical performance against the Yankees?
I feel like he's kind of exercised some of the demons this year. But when it comes to high leverage situations, pitching with runners on base, I feel like he's had a lot of opportunities where he's had to dig himself out. I just think he's mentally stronger this year than he's ever been. So I'm not as concerned about the mental state of Brian Bayo as you are.
Who was his catcher for 137.1 of those innings?
Connor Wong.
Who was his catcher for only 29.1 of those innings?
Carlos Narvaez.
Good answer. Okay. We played this game before.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, that is my only concern. And as I said, he can shut 1-2-3 first inning, and I'll be feeling differently about Bayo. I also believe the crowd will feel differently.
Let me ask you this: in the past, Tim Wakefield had a catcher, right, that only caught for him?
Yes.
Doug Mirabella.
And that was because he threw knuckleballs,
right?
That's
a little different, yeah.
Is there another situation where it wasn't a knuckleballer, where he had to have a certain catcher that you can think of? I mean, is this...
Yeah, Dan Ball?
John Lester had David Ross during their World Series run in 2013.
So he was a
specific catcher one out of every 5 days isn't overly uncommon.
Gotcha.
Well, and I think some of it is, not to go too deep down this rabbit hole of why certain guys catch for certain people, some of it sometimes is, I think, you're not going to use your catcher every day. Catchers, as much as anybody, need some days off in there. And to give the continuity of using the same backup with the same pitcher instead of maybe your fifth starter always getting a mix match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like giving that guy the stability of every fifth day you might have Connor Wong as your catcher. And then they slide into a comfort zone. And if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, we'll see what happens.
Real quick, do you mind if Dan Ball just gives the lineup one more time?
I think
it might be good just to, if there's any changes to the lineup, just let people know what that's going to be looking like, Dan.
Well, as was confirmed by Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons, and we'll mix in some of those later on in the show, Rob Refsnyder leads off. He's your DH. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Roman Gonzalez at first. Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Nate Eaton in right. Jaron Duran in left. Seidon Rafaela in center. Nick Sogard at second. So you can also add the little asterisk in there, Ted. You'll have Nate Lowe pinch hitting probably for Romy. Mm. You'll have Massa probably pinch hitting for Rob Refsnyder.
And
you'll have Willier probably in for Nate Eaton by the time all is said and done. David Hamilton pinch hitting somewhere.
Oh, the legendary.
And changing everything in the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyone else think last night when Lowe got up and he had two guys on, two outs, and he pinch hit, he absolutely smoked that ball. I thought that one was going out. Judge had to make that semi-leaping catch out by the fence.
You mean when he misplayed it?
He misplayed it. But rule Lowe out for a big hit. That guy looks very dialed in, very confident at the plate right now.
And we did want to clarify, he is a World Series champion. He does have a ring, Ted.
Yes.
You shorted him a ring. You, above anybody else, should honor the rings, right? Teddy 3 ring should honor the ring of... Lowe.
I like to honor just the guys with multiple rings. You know what I mean? Alex Bregman and the Aroldis Chapmans of
now,
the world.
Wait, you know? Now you could have multiple rings to make the Ted Johnson class. Respect meter.
A lot of guys can just win one. Can you win multiple? That's a little bit harder, you know?
That's what some of them are chasing.
How many times is Craig Breslow a World Series champion, Andy?
One. No, not two. Joe Braverman is like three studios down. I'm looking through a line of glass. Yes, there was a funny 2-minute grill on the MassMutual pregame show. Craig Breslow in 2007 earned, in quotes, a World Series ring. Late in the year, he was in Pawtucket. They told him they needed him. There was some bullpen issues. They were starting a young starter. They weren't sure what. So make the drive up from Pawtucket. Get to Fenway. We need you. Clay Buchholz went out and pitched a complete game no-hitter. Craig Breslow was immediately told, we don't need you. Go back to Pawtucket. Oh. So he never did anything. Never stepped on a mound.
Well, he probably put the heat on Clay Buchholz.
Could be.
You know what I mean? He's like, oh, this Breslow guy is coming for my job.
Red Sox go on to win the World Series, and the traveling secretary, Jack McCormick.
Andy, you're just a hater.
he was contacted in like December, like, hey, what's your ring size? And he was like, ring size, and they gave him a ring, even though he never stepped on the mound, never stepped on the field. He also joked that he was invited to the White House, but he declined that because he was like, I literally never played with these guys. I'm not going to go to the White House and just be a hanger-on or a whatever you want to call it.
I'm okay with that.
So is he a multi-ring guy? Does he get the multi-ring Ted Johnson respect? Or is that like one and a half ring?
Barely. I'll give him half respect on that. That's not. I see what you're saying. That's not the real respect, but he was on the roster, so.
617-779-7937. Red Sox, Yankees, game two. How you feeling? We see your phone calls lining up. We'll get to your phone calls, your confidence level. If this goes a game three, do you think history repeats and the team that won game one always wins? Or will you be worried? That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Thanks, Ted.
You're home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Red Sox took a 1-0 series lead in their American League Wild Card Series against the Yankees last night in the Bronx. The final score was 3-1. Garrett Crochet went 7 2/3 innings to pick up the win. His 11 strikeouts set a Red Sox postseason record for Ks by a left-handed pitcher. Aroldis Chapman then recorded the save. Game two of that series is tonight. First pitch at 6:08. Brian Bale will start opposite Carlos Rodon. And here is your lineup for tonight as the Red Sox run it back with the same nine. Rob Refsnyder leads off. He's your DH. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Romy Gonzalez at first with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Nate Eaton in right. Jaron Duran in left. Sadon Rafaela in center. Nick Sogard is at second base and he is batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand is tonight at 5:08 and Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks and Lou Maloney will have the call of the game. From around Major League Baseball, we have a final. The Guardians beat the Tigers 6-1 in Game 2, forcing a Game 3 in that series tomorrow afternoon. In the NL right now, the Padres, they have a 1-0 lead over the Cubs in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Chicago has a 1-0 lead in that series. And finally, in the late game tonight, it's the Dodgers hosting the Cincinnati Reds. First pitch is at 9:08. Yoshinobu Yamamoto against Zach Littell is your pitching matchup. Right now, LA leads that series by 1-0. And from around the league, Brian Snitker will not return as manager after Atlanta failed to make the postseason for the first time since 2017. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England begins a 3-game road trip in Buffalo against the Bills on Sunday night. Buffalo is 4-0 and has scored at least 30 points in every game. From earlier today, Patriots corner and punt returner Marcus Jones was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And from around the league, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill will not need another surgery after undergoing a major procedure on Tuesday to repair his dislocated left knee and multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL. He does plan to play next season. And the Browns are benching quarterback Joe Flacco and will turn to rookie Dylan Gabriel as their starter for Sunday's game in London against the Vikings. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Talk about how huge Yoshida was with that pinch hit, and also Nick Sogard coming through with great base running and two hits last year.
Yeah, Sogi, he's a good player. If you see him play a month or 2 months, you're like, man, he does everything well. It just happens that he comes here for a week and then we send him down. But very fundamental sound, you know. He does everything right. Yesterday put some good at-bats, played good defense, and the base running play, just taking advantage of what's out there, right? And he did well.
Alex Cora, a bit earlier here on WEEI Afternoons. As always, reminder, you can use the Odyssey app. You want to go back and listen to the entirety of the interview. Talking about Sogi.
Who does Sogi remind you of?
Bogey.
No. I meant like another player on the team.
Why don't you tell me?
Jarren Duran.
Oh.
Well, don't you? Speed-wise? Running the base-wise?
He's fast. I don't think he's Duran fast.
Okay, but you get the idea. I mean, he did stretch that single into a double.
He did. Now, the key part there for me that they keep saying, I saw Sogi say this in a clip on Nesson last night, and we just heard Alex Cora say it, taking advantage. They think they can take advantage of Aaron Judge in right field and his arm. You know, I didn't see this myself, but I heard Adam Jones talking about he read something out of New York where they're actually wondering if the Yankees should flip-flop Stanton and Judge and put Stanton in the field. Stanton is not a fielder. That'd be like the Red Sox putting Yoshida out there. Yeah, he is not a fielder. So they clearly in New York feel like right now they basically have two DHs, except one of the DHs has to play right field. And I think the Red Sox smell blood in the water. And I'm going to make a little comparison here that also goes pro-Red Sox, Brandon, as you keep texting. After text after text. Yeah,
Brandon's got to give an argument for why he thinks the Yankees will win 7-3.
Or 5-3. He's got two scores.
Oh, okay.
Red Sox are going to get
three. Are you high, Brandon?
So the Red Sox, despite what he did last night, nearly killing himself and our Gold Glove center fielder, the Red Sox have a right fielder who throws guys out at first base. The Yankees have a right fielder who can't throw guys out at second base. Seems like advantage Red Sox. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Salem. I don't know what your name is. Sorry, you're on, Salem. Green Runs Deep? What the hell is Green Runs Deep? Go ahead, Salem.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
How you doing?
GRD, what's up, man?
I'm a big fan of you guys. I appreciate you guys entertaining me this afternoon. Last night, I almost died when Mike Stanton came up to the plate with the bases loaded. Tonight, I really need a blowout by the Boston Red Sox to bring postseason back to Fenway.
Thanks for the call, Green.
That's what it's going to take?
No, it's one run.
Well,
you could win 1-0, 3-2, 5-3, 7-3, any odd numbers you want. You don't need a blowout.
Okay, but it's interesting. You said to bring people back. There was some apathy. They were kind of, you know, limping into the finish line, the Red Sox in the regular season.
Yeah, it's not the regular season anymore.
But there was some apathy.
Do you see the calendar?
There was some apathy.
See the calendar? What happened to the calendar today?
What do you mean?
October.
Yeah.
We're literally, we were figuratively in October yesterday.
The switch has been flipped.
Now the switch has been flipped. Alex was telling
us not to talk about October. That wasn't that long ago.
Now we have to. Now if you like check your mail, it's October. If you write a check, you got to write October on the little date line there. It is literally October now. It's October baseball.
Just win. I don't think you have to blow them out. The Patriots needed a blowout win last. The Red Sox just got to win today.
Let's get to the offense. Are they even capable of blowing anybody out with this offense right now?
I don't think so, no.
Going base to base, takes a lot of base to bases to score like 8-9 runs to have a blowout victory. I'm just going to be happy if they score runs because you look at this lineup, and we've all done it. We did it, I think, last week when we were at Fenway, and they have the monitors in our studio there, one of them has the lineup, and you look at it. But is the lineup better? You listen to that comment right there from Alex Cora. Am I just buying the company line when he says, Sogie's a good ball player. I mean, we only see him every once in a while, but if you watched him I don't get to watch him for a month because he's not a major leaguer for a month, and that kind of makes our point, not yours, Alex. Mm-hmm. If you thought he was so good, he would play for a month. He's not as good as the people you play over him for a month. But is this lineup better than we give it credit for? Dan Ball.
Better than we give it credit for? No. Capable of blowing out the New York Yankees in a game? I would actually say yes. And the reason I say that is because if you can score early, I can't go with this whole wait till the last three innings to win the game crap. If you get on the Yankees early, I need a signature moment from Trevor Story, for example, early.
Oh, what about St. Bregman with a two-run home run in the first inning?
That would be great, but he had his moment yesterday. I need Story to do more than strike out three times and hit base hits. I need a signature
moment. Did you see the steal?
I did. But here's my point. If you do that early, if you get that early, I think this Yankees team and these Yankees fans are ready to kill each other.
I could not agree with you.
I think Yankees fans are ready to boo. They're ready with torches and pitchforks for Aaron Boone if they lose this game. I think there is collapse potential with this team if you get on them early.
They're ready to get on their planes and go to Cabo is what the players are. Ready.
Oh, 25 cabs, Teddy. Come on, let's go. Get those golf clubs and swimsuits out, baby.
But you look at the lineup and you go, there was a long stretch where Yoshida wasn't hitting. You know, a long stretch where Bregman was been struggling. He's starting to now figure it out. Long stretches where Narvaez was struggling. So it's kind of, you look at the lineup and you remember all of those guys that at one time were hot during the season, but then had recent slumps that you look at the lineup, I think, the way you do, because so many of those guys that were hitting early in the year kind of cooled off towards the end, and you hope that now, you know, they start to heat up again. But I think that's when you look at that lineup. I mean, there was a time when Bregman had the best start of his career this season, and so with Narvaez, and so with Abreu. And then they had cooled off. And so I think when you look at the lineup, you remember those cooling off points more than you remember their hot streaks earlier in the year.
Dan Ball, don't tell me that Carl Ravitch doesn't care about the Red Sox. With 1 hour, 31 minutes, and 20 seconds to go before first pitch, he is standing right behind Alex Bregman taking BP, watching every swing that St. Bregman takes.
Whoa. And then Nick Sogard runs by and he goes, who the hell is that?
They actually had Nick Sogard on a clip, too.
That's fine. He's out there doing some version of his job. Good for him.
And vibes check. I know everybody felt better about the Red Sox when they found out their manager, Alex Cora, was in the field with a glove yesterday around this time. Well, day two, game two, same situation. Alex Cora is out in the field with a glove. So does that make everybody, including Brandon in Boston, a little better? Or is just Brandon in Boston just a Yankees fan? Is that? I don't even know.
He's just a contrarian. Much like yourself, you should be admiring how contrarian he is.
He's challenging us. He's pulling out the, is it in the contract you guys aren't allowed to pick against the Red Sox or be negative against the Red Sox? First of all, no one was more negative against the Red Sox this year than, and Fitzy will back me up on this, than me that Friday night when I was getting ready to go watch Cooper Criswell pitch at Fenway Park because they had bumped back Garrett Crochet post-trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
That was at the bottom. I was down in the dumps.
You were sucking your thumb that you had tickets for, and the family was coming.
I was pissed.
And you're like, I'm going to buy all these beers and hot dogs, and I got to watch Cooper Criswell pitch. How do you do in that game?
He was great.
Yeah.
And so the point is, we criticize them at times on the, I mean, freaking Fitzy told St. Anthony, Roman Anthony, to change his swing. He's like, you're not good enough. Fix your damn swing. Right. I'm sick of seeing your crappy swing on my Nesson TV show.
That's exactly how I phrased it, too. Man, you must be reading from the transcript.
I was going to say, that's how the internet took it.
hey, Roman thanked you for it, too. I mean, he did. He appreciated the advice. Yeah.
So we've been critical at times. Ted, not so much. He's a bit of a St. Bregman rumpswab, but we'll just move past that.
Thanks, Fitzy.
There you go.
Welcome, Roman.
But when I look at this game, Brandon, I look at the manager. Who's the better manager? And this isn't just a theory now. We watched a game last night, and we watched one manager do everything right, and we watched one manager do everything wrong. Is that correct?
Yes. One is Giselle, and one is Roseanne Barr. it's pretty obvious who the better manager is.
Okay.
You know?
And the starting pitching, Fitzy. We look at Brian Bello. He has kind of owned the Yankees this year. We look at Rodon. Has he owned the Red Sox? Give me the number again.
15 2/3 innings, 5.74 ERA. I would hardly call that ponership.
So I don't want to discredit Brandon, but if you're picking a game and you think there is an absolute blowout advantage for the manager and a strong advantage or an advantage for the starting pitcher, wouldn't that make you tend to lean that way? Especially if the game is taking place in a stadium where Dan Ball tells me that the however many thousand Yankees fans that show up and buy tickets, because they didn't buy them all yesterday, are ready to turn on their own team in the second inning, the third inning, if things start to get tough.
Yeah.
And Ted Johnson's telling me, he's an ex-athlete, if you didn't know that, played a game, not this game, but a game. Right?
If you say so, yeah.
He thinks the players are calling their travel agents, if travel agents are even a thing anymore, and getting
bags
them
are
tickets.
Packed already.
Okay, so those are the reasons
at
that
least
I would
the luggage
map out.
Is laid out in the bedrooms.
Right. But Brandon, you want me to pick the home team? You want me to make an argument for the home team? I can do that.
Go.
The lineup is better. They are two swings away from being up 4-0.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of the New York Yankees. They're two swings away, and I did see somewhere though, in Dan Ball. No pressure on this. Get it if you can, though. I did see some allusions on the text line to windy day at Yankee Stadium today. And we did hear some wind with Alex Cora when he was walking.
That benefits us.
And it said it was blowing in, which we don't care. We can't hit it out anyway.
Nope,
so our ground balls, our doubles will still be doubles, baby. So, but yeah, if you want me to talk up an advantage for the Yankees, two swings of the bat and they could be in the third game of this series. That's just the reality of how they play baseball. But the Red Sox have the vibes. The Red Sox are rolling. 9 mile per hour winds. That's not as strong as the text line made it sound.
Blowing in 9 miles. That's barely even a gust.
Yeah, that's not as strong.
That's borderline breeze.
All right, you're right, Brandon. The Yankees are going to win. They're going to hit bombs out of the ballpark. There's no wind at Yankee Stadium.
No, what about the pinch runner? Come on. You can't have a pinch runner
in
a loss.
I do have a vision. I'm a bit of a prophet.
D-Hams.
Prophet here. I'm watching D-Ham. 617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Aiden in Amesbury. Ooh, QB question of the week candidate. What's up, Aiden?
Hi, I just wanted to... I just want to say Alex Cora is doing an absolute amazing job.
All right, thanks for the call. You know I smelled that one coming
Alex
a mile
Cora
away.
Alex Cora is
saw
doing
that?
An amazing
smelled
job.
Smelled that one, baby.
You know what? I'm going to let that one fly.
You know what? Actually, I think there's a lot of people out there right now that would excuse that. Yeah, you know what? Safe harbor, schmafe harbor.
No worries.
But the first part of his comment was definitely accurate. Alex Cora is doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
Now
it's one game.
Right, I was going to say it's one.
But it's also, I mean, he managed the Friday night game against the Detroit Tigers and like it was a playoff game. So it's really like two.
So he's got a couple playoff games under his belt. Here he's just hitting his postseason stride.
That's right. That's right.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I have a question for you guys, listeners and co-hosts. A question that I'm going to ask you, and I think it gets to the heart of your competitive nature. Going into Game 2, Red Sox-Yankees. I'll ask that question next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
It started yesterday. We were joking around that for some reason our front office was in the bullpen checking something over there, and he was in the dugout with me, and I told him we should call the bullpen, and he's like, tomorrow you're going to make one call to the bullpen. Say maybe two. He's like, no, one. He's going to be straight to Chappie. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. And that's how it worked out.
Woo! That was Alex Cora talking about his ace, Garrett Crochet. who was being, he later admitted, a bit arrogant, telling his manager, you're only making one call to the bullpen. Not two, one call to the bullpen. And that's how it played out.
I love little stories like that. That's what makes the playoffs fun. That's what kind of makes baseball romantic a little bit.
Also a little misleading, because in Crochet's mind, given the way that they've managed all year, one call to the bullpen really means for the ninth inning, right? For like, they don't really do what they did, so it was a little weird the way it played out. But Chapman comes in
but
the
he was
eighth,
right.
Gets the job done. It was a bumpy road a little bit there, but yes, the end game was a win.
Can I just make this use this time to point out that we're trying to figure out what player is the face of the leadership.
Yeah,
if you will, and it's
the personality.
I would say Bregman is 1A, but 1B is Crochet.
Yes,
because he basically said, "No, we're not going casual. We're not dressing casual. We're dressing business. This is a business trip."
Yep.
And Alex Cora's like, "Okay, all
love
right,
it.
Whatever you say,
love it."
And so everyone dressed in sports coats, and as opposed to the outstanding athleisure wear.
Easy for you to say. You just wear it. You don't say it.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I do.
So I just thought those are fun little stories that always come out of playoff games like this.
All right, I got to pay off the tease because that's what Stiz always tells me to do. I have a question for you guys about tonight's game that I think will give a little insight into your makeup, your mentality, your competitive nature, whatever you want to call it. So if you win this game tonight, or when you win this game tonight, would you rather win a blowout or a game similar to last night? A nail biter that comes down to the bottom of the ninth inning and you're edge of your seat the whole way. Blowout or nail biter like game one? Let's start with Dan Ball.
A blowout? Are you kidding me?
Really?
Are you out of your mind, bro?
Yeah. Drop it.
I said you win either way.
Yeah, but you want to see this thing burn. You want to see 5 to 6 innings of Aaron Boone managing his last game with the Yankees. You want to see the last game as a Yankee for some of these veterans that they bought that didn't pan out. Yeah, you want to revel in this. And I don't know if my heart can take it a repeat of yesterday. So blowout all the way.
Fitzy.
Yeah, my nails are already down to the quick in the nub, and the beer fridge needs restocking after one night. I'm good with the blowout because there's going to be, against Toronto and possibly beyond, plenty of other Heart Attack Central games where you're going to want to get the nitro pills restocked. I'm all set with that. Let it burn, baby. Let it burn. Blowout city.
Okay, Ted, blowout?
Stiz, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? This question is ridiculous. blow it out, baby. Let's go. Do the Red Sox need to be tested? Are we worried about their mettle in close games? I mean, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if I can.
They started off bad, and then now they're pretty good in one-run games.
Sogi and Eaton and these guys weren't part of that. Yoshida, I don't know how these guys are. I want them to continue to prove their mettle, continue to prove that they are the little engine that could. Uh-huh. Because I said it's a win, if you notice, the question is about you win the game. So you advance to Toronto either way. And I'm a little greedy as a fan. I enjoyed that last night.
Well, you know what? I think the reason I'd like a blowout is because that means the bats got hot. And you know what? And even though they can go cold the next game. I get that. But I'd just like to see some guys start hitting the ball. So if they're hitting the ball and they're scoring runs, that might lead to more later in the playoffs.
That is the best way to answer that question. You're right. If they score a bunch of runs, it means they scored a bunch of runs and they prove they can score a bunch of runs. Stiz, super fan, little super fan, young super fan.
No, but like I told you, that 20 minutes last night and texting with the boys, I mean, that was awesome.
Is that a new podcast? Texting with the boys?
Texting with the boys. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we're winning no matter what. Give me entertainment.
Give me drama.
Give me drama.
I like the drama too. Like, to me, that game, Stiz, and you're a perfect example. That's what sports is all about.
Stiz also likes probably drama in his other parts of his life, you know?
I like it in the beginning, Ted. Then at the end, not so much.
Not too much drama.
I heard you like it in the end, too.
Hey.
Yes, Dan?
I would also like to see the Red Sox prove me wrong in my feeling that they don't have the killer instinct. If you leave things up to chance in a game two, it doesn't solve what I've been preaching to you guys for weeks, which is I don't trust them closing out when the situation matters most.
I was going to bring that up earlier, but I didn't want to be Mr. Negativity because that's sort of looking ahead to worry.
You didn't want to?
Yeah, no, you're training your apprentice very well now. Good job, Andy.
I feel like he's passed me up. The apprentice has become the teacher a little bit back there. But this has been a thing Dan has talked about for a long time now, these series where they win the first two games and then they can't close it out. They lose the game three. And this is a little different situation because, you know, if you win the first two, the series will be over. But how do we feel about their closeout clutch factor if you do end up getting to a game three? And we'll answer that question next here on WEEI Afternoons as we wrap up our show. A little extra few minutes here as we lead into the Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand. We'll answer that question. How are you feeling about the clutch factor of your Boston Red Sox after game one? That's next on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.